Good morning. We have been blessed to have been able to be missionaries to the Caribbean for the last 15 years. Prior to that, we pastored in Hays, Kansas. Everyone knows where Hays is, right? When I talk to people who aren't familiar with Kansas and I say Hays, Kansas, I say, oh yeah, that's the place halfway between Kansas City and Denver where you stop for gas. Yeah. There's a little more to the Hays, Kansas than that. But we went out from Kansas to the mission field, and our first stop after raising our funds and going through School of Missions and all that kind of stuff was to the island of Jamaica. Yeah, poor missionaries. Having to go to Jamaica where, you know, the cruise ships go and people go on their honeymoons. But we did not have a beach ministry. We were in the center of the island, up in the mountains, teaching Bible college. And I served as the dean of students there. Actually, they gave me three titles. Titles are very important to people in the Caribbean. And so I had three different titles, but in the United States, it would all be rounded down to dean of students. We try to keep things simple here, you know. But we really enjoyed our time there. In addition to teaching, as many missionaries do, we wore different hats. We were involved in student ministries and traveled all around the island with our students doing various different things, having services in churches, going to hospitals and nursing homes. And we were able to go to schools all over the island to hold devotions in the morning. No, these are not Christian schools. These are public schools where they still are allowed and indeed every morning have devotions. And so we had a tremendous time taking our students doing that. Another hat that we took on was we were the directors of Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames. How many have ever seen that drama? Just a few of you. This is a drama, a high-impacting evangelistic drama that uses the people in the church to learn little 8 to 10 minute skits. There's a lot of course, visual effects and things like that. But we very, very high-impacting drama, and we literally saw thousands of people come to the Lord through that drama. We would go to different churches, not just AG. But we would go to any church that was interested in having us come. And so we would explain what we would need and how many people. They'd say, oh, yeah, man, no problem, man. And so we'd get there. They didn't have enough people. You know, I mean, they just wanted it so bad they'd tell you whatever you wanted to hear. So we just started traveling with our Bible college students. And they would plug a hole wherever it was needed. And so we did that for quite a while. After a while, we felt that our students needed to experience something that they had never experienced at the Bible College since its existence, was the opportunity for a missions trip. See, a lot of islands and a lot of other countries, they view themselves as mission fields, but it takes a while to get them to see themselves as potential missionaries, reaching out beyond their own country. And so we challenged our students to raise money to go on a missions trip. And, of course, had to give them a lot more time to raise their funds than we would in the United States. But we took 20 students to the country of Curaçao. We wanted to take them somewhere where they did not speak English. So we chose Curaçao partially because it wasn't so far away that they could afford to raise the funds. But in Curaçao, they speak Papiamento. And if you don't speak Papiamento, you speak Dutch. And if you don't speak Dutch, you speak Spanish. So they didn't have a shot in the dark. But we had some people who, of course, could translate. And it was just a tremendous, tremendous opportunity for them. And out of those group of students, one young lady received a call from God as a missionary, and she is now the very first missionary to go out of Jamaica, supported by Jamaican churches, to the country of Guyana. Stacey Ann Bolton. She's excited for the Lord, attractive young lady. I would not be surprised if that last name changes for too long. After two terms in Jamaica, God had a change for us. We were recruited and asked to go to the island of New Providence in the city of Nassau in the country of the Bahamas. Oh, poor missionaries. And yes, we did have a beach ministry because the island's only 27 miles long and 8 miles wide. You can't hardly drive anywhere without seeing the beach. In fact, I have to confess the Bible College was only a mile from Paradise Island. We never advertised that, though. But we enjoyed our time in the Bible College. It was a little different than in Jamaica, because Jamaica was a residential school and most of our students were in their 20s. Once in a while we'd have one, you know, 18, 19 years old, and a few so in the 30s or something like that. Well, in the Bahamas, this was a night school, part-time night school, where everyone worked during the day. And our average age of students was anywhere from their 30s to their 50s. Our youngest student was 18. Our oldest student was 77. And these students, they were, I mean, a lot of them were already pastors, but they hadn't had the opportunity for a strong Bible education. We were one of three Bible colleges on the islands, but we were the most economical. And so they had to be serious. It took 8 years going consistently to get your bachelor's degree. And then another at least 3 years to get your master's degree. And these students were serious. And so we had a lot of students coming through our school, and we even had a few of our professors that had gone all the way to getting their master's degree. And so that was a tremendous opportunity. While we were there, God opened some other doors, and I'm going to have my wife come and share with you about that, because although we did it together as a team, my wife was really the one who spearheaded it. And then she's going to open up the sermon, because we're going to do a tag team sermon. Anybody ever watch WWE? Yeah. No wrestling, just the tag.
Well, good morning. You know, every day, each one of us has opportunities, right? Because we are children of the Most High King. And we are his ambassadors right here on this planet, and in particular in Meridian and the surrounding community. But while we were in the Bahamas, I do as all of you do, praying for God's opportunities that I might see them and then act upon them. Because a lot of times we see stuff, but, you know, we're busy people, right? So sometimes we don't act like we should. And but on this particular occasion, we were on the beach, having one of our visitors on the island come and enjoy the beach with us. And we were coming, getting to go back to the car, and there was a lady that was sitting underneath of a tree. And she was a beach vendor, selling water, chips, all the things that we like to eat while after get through playing and things. And as we did that, we walked past her, said, "See you later." God kind of said, "Stop right there." And so I waited. And I usually carry a tract in my purse just in case, you know, I'm directed. I feel like, you know, someone needs to receive that. And as I did, I got it out of my purse and handed it to her. And she started crying. I've never had an occasion like that where someone just bursts out into tears and will not quit crying. So I knew that God was up to something, right? And so I gave her a hug and consoled her with, you know, I'm going to be here for you. I'm going to come back and we're going to talk, because she was just pretty much had lost it at that point. And she was trying to recover herself. But I spent the next year getting to know her, getting to know her story. All of us have stories, don't we? Some are just life stories, and then some are the God stories, the redemption stories, where we get real with God, and He does an awesome thing in our lives. How many of you've received some of those kind of real life God stories in your life, haven't you? You've bore your soul to the Lord and you've allowed Him to work something awesome in your life, right? That's why you're here this morning, right? Because God's done something incredible in your life. Well, through that year, I found out that she had been there on that little piece of beach for 10 years. She was an alcoholic. That's why she was there. She lost her job. Her job paid like a ridiculous amount, $3,000 a month. And she got caught up, as so many of us do, in a life of drinking. And it got out of control. She was just partying like everybody else does, but for some reason, her body was not able to handle the party. And her party had lasted for 10 years. And she had lost body weight. She was down to skin and bones, because when you're drinking alcohol from the time you wake up until the time you put your head down, you don't have much of an appetite for anything else. Started out something fun, ended up something that was destroying her literally from the inside out. And I began to see and to hear her story and how God was sending her my way. And so I started looking for things. You know, what can I do to help her? I don't know anything about alcoholism. I don't know how to help someone in her condition. So I contacted Global Teen Challenge. You know anything about Teen Challenge, you know that it is a life transformation that is only possible with a relationship with Jesus Christ. I mean, there's all sorts of alcoholic and drug and rehabilitation places that many people go to, but for something that is going to be 80% success rate, it's got to be Teen Challenge. So they came to us and they helped train us. And I was still her friend, but she has to give her life over to the Lord. She's the one that has to ask for help, right? And she had done it two or three times before. And so she's going, yeah, right, this time is really going to help. And I said, well, here's what has happened for other people. I know what God has done in my life. So that meant I had to get real with her, right? Yeah, we have to be willing to share the God story, what He's done in our life, with other people, because otherwise, how are they going to know that God's real besides us just telling Him that? And so I got real with her and let her see all the things that God had done in my life, from the biggest to the smallest, and she decided to give God a try. Checked herself into the detox center that they have that is a government program. And I tell you, when she accepted Christ, she was changed. I love seeing people who really allow God to do a work in their life, because they just shine. You know that song we just sang about the light of Jesus that shines in the darkness? That is so true. When someone has discovered it for the first time and you start seeing it being worked out in their lives, it's awesome. It gives us fuel when we get to be a part of that, seeing people being worked and the love of Jesus being in their lives and the Word of God becoming so real to them. And them receiving redemption through that. And so the ladies that were in the detox center with her, they had no chance. She was just spilling Jesus all over them. Isn't that awesome? And so she said, Pam, you have got to get in here and start and bring in the word with you because you're my pastor. And so I went in there and I started praying with the ladies and started loving on them. And she was already been doing that. But then we decided, you know, there are more ladies on this island that need help. And so we got this big old dream. Have you ever had one of those God dreams? And there's no way it's going to happen unless it's God. And we, again, had Global Teen Challenge help us work through the process of starting a women's teen challenge in Nassau, Bahamas, where everybody goes for vacation. But there's a whole lot of other things that goes on that we have no clue until we accept God's challenge. And so it's so cool to see what he's doing. Not only did he help this one lady, but we were given grace and favor with the detention center, girls' detention center. And we're bringing the God's redemption story in there with some of our ladies. And then the courts asked us to start helping some of the ladies that would otherwise be going to prison, that we would counsel them. And guess what? They had to pay us. The ladies had to pay us. Not me personally, but our nonprofit organization that we state or that we set up. So $1,000 for 3 months? Does that seem unusual to you? Yeah. That's what happens when you start going on a God journey and you start saying, God, you know, wherever you lead, I'm going to follow. And he starts opening up incredible opportunities for us. Because that's what we're here on this planet for, isn't it? You and me reaching out with the love of Jesus. And it works. It works. Because just like we sung about here today, we are the light that shines in the darkness. And people, whether they know it or not, they need the light and the love of Jesus in their lives. And we're the only ones. We are the only ones that is specifically designed to help someone in your life, someone in your influence of people around you. You have been given what needs to happen in someone else's life. Would you turn with me to Galatians 6:2? It'll come up on the screen too. But just like we've done here today and many Sundays when you gather here, we are to bear one another's burden. Not like knapsacks on the back as you see in the picture, but when we go through stuff, we need to know that we have not only Jesus to call upon, but each other. We are to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. If we don't do that, who's gonna? Nobody. Because everybody's running the race, and it's hard to stop the engine when the engine's going 100 miles an hour in life, isn't it? But when we stop and we reach out to others, that makes a statement to the world, doesn't it? Wow, look at Jefferson Assembly. They really help their people. They pray. And I heard this morning in pastor's office, God's doing miracles in people's lives, right? All God asks us to do is to share that with somebody. That miracle that he's done in your life, that's all he asks, is for us to share that. And it's amazing what happens in people's life. Because what do people need? They need Jesus, but the hope that he brings, right? That's what people are looking for, is hope. And when we bear each other's burdens and we say, well, yeah, I'm thinking about, I'll be thinking about that problem that you're having. No, I'm going to pray about that problem. And I might be praying right now for your problem and expecting and knowing that God is going to answer. He's listening and he answers prayer. Amen? That's what God does. And this next 4 years, we've been asked to come to Springfield and work with some of our missionaries that are going through some difficulties, some challenges. And when they go through crisis in their life on the field, who do they call? Not Ghostbusters, I'm sorry. No, they call up Springfield and they're asking for help. I'm going through this traumatic experience on the field. I don't have anybody here. They just don't have the resources on the field like they do here in the United States. And so we connect them with people. We help them out. And we were in that position while we were in Jamaica. We had awesome ministry time with the students, helping them out. But we got, Pastor, do you ever do this? Do you ever get overworked? Yeah, just a little. Well, you're so enthusiastic about ministry and trying to help mission teams and help our students and go on ministry outings and everything, that we expended all of our energy and we were at the point of being overdone. And we were burnt out. So after our 8 years there, we took some time off just to get recharged. And that was Member Care assisting us to be able to do that. And look what happened. The next 4 years that we went out, God still used us and helped us launch a ministry that would help a lot of people on the islands. And so people need to be recharged and retooled to be able to do what God is still calling them to do, just like all of us. You know, in Acts 14:19, you'll see that also up here, Paul kind of got into a situation like that. Paul was in Listeria, and it says in Acts 14:19, it says, Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having persuaded the crowds, they stoned Paul, and they dragged him out of the city. He was just ministering, preaching the word of God, and he gets this kind of reaction, right? And they dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead because they had just stoned him. But when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up, he entered the city, and on the next day, he went on with Barnabas to Derbe. So that kind of sounds like a miracle to me. How about you? That's a miracle. And it's because the disciples gathered around him, helped him, prayed it for him. And if people are going to stone you and drag you out of the city, that means that you're pretty much a goner. But God and the disciples praying for him, there was a miracle that happened. And so that's kind of what we're going to be doing with Member Care. We're going to be assisting our missionaries who are in crisis times, being kind of like the first responders. Because our world is a dangerous place, isn't it? We see crises happening like Nepal with the earthquake. And then we also see a growing hate for followers of the cross. That's you and me. That's our missionaries on the field that go in as teachers or some other kind of occupation. They're going in on the stealth mode, but they're really there because they want people to know Jesus. And they're risking their life for people to know. But those are the kind of times that we're living in today. To be a missionary or to be a Christ follower in another country means that our missionaries are under attack.
You know, when our missionaries contact you through newsletters and such, they don't tell you about their crisis. They don't tell you about the traumatic events that they have experienced. They keep their newsletters on the positive of what God is doing. Now, there may be prayer requests, but when you think about it, when missionaries go to the field, they go out there without knowing how things are going to work out. All you have to do is read some of the stories of missionaries from past, you know, bygones and even in different centuries to see that some have died on the field shortly after arriving. You know, we have missionaries that have went to different islands where they didn't even know what kind of people lived there and find out that they were cannibals. Did that stop missionaries from going when they lost their lives? No. Missionaries keep going because God has put a burden on our hearts. For those of us who are called to missions, it's like we can't imagine doing anything else. You know, there's times that as we could make more money staying in our own country and taking a different kind of a job, but we're following through what God has called us to do. We go out knowing and believing that God is going to protect us, that God is going to give us direction, that He's going to give us favor with the people in the country that we have called to be to go to. But missionaries expect that there's going to be persecution. With more and more missionaries, and it's true that more and more of our missionaries are going to sensitive countries than anywhere else, many of them expect to experience persecution. But, you know, persecution doesn't just happen in sensitive countries. We had a missionary a missionary friends of ours who were in Kenya, Africa. They've been in missions for over 30 years now, but they spent 20 years in Kenya, Africa, and at one point in time, he had started an international church, and on one Sunday, some young fundamental Islamic radicals had started a riot, and so he, you know, as they were coming through the streets, he got his congregation into the church, and he was trying to get them out of the streets so that they wouldn't be harmed, and he got them in, but he didn't get himself in fast enough. And he was grabbed and he was almost beaten to death. At one point in time, he said, a young man with a bat was just about to hit him on the head with the bat, and he lifted up his hand and he just said, "Jesus." And all of a sudden the man just stopped, dropped the bat, and they dispersed. And then some of his congregation came out and got him to the hospital. Assembly of God World Missions, his area director, which is like his boss, was saying, "We need to get you off the field. We need to get you, you know, some time of rest." He said, no, my congregation needs me. This is from the hospital. It took them over 2 weeks before they finally got him to agree to take a little time off. See, missionaries are passionate people. They know they're doing what God has called them to do, and they don't want to leave the field because they want to fulfill what God has called them to do. God told us in John chapter 15, verse 18, that we're all going to suffer persecution. I think the verse, yes, it's right there. I'm not going to read it, but you can read it there. But we know that the portion of the world hates us. In fact, all we have to do is look around in our own country. And it's getting to the point that a portion of our own country people from our own country hate us. But if we don't suffer any kind of persecution, what does that say about us? Scripture says we should expect persecution. But what do we do about it when it does happen? Obviously, we should support our brothers and sisters when they go through times of suffering in any way that we can. It doesn't matter where in the world you are. here in the United States or anywhere else, when we are doing something God has called us to do, any kind of ministry that God has called us to do, when we are doing that, the devil is going to do whatever he can to interfere. Amen? I mean, anytime we're trying to do something, when the church is trying to plan an outreach, and we're out there trying our best to reach people for Christ, the devil is going to bring all sorts of different kinds of challenges into our lives to try to distract us from staying focused on what God has called us to do. You know, within the body of Christ, all of a sudden we have these, as oftentimes we'll refer to as all these little fires that all of a sudden pop up, trying to get our minds off of what God has called us to do, to have to deal with this and to have to deal with that and this challenging personality and all those kinds of things. Well, on the mission field, 80% of our missionaries who come home prior to retirement do so because of family problems. Problems that if there was some form of intercession that could be dealt with, they may not have come home at all. With the proper support from those who understand what they are going through, a lot of times this can be avoided. You know, missionary families have compounded stresses that is more so than people who are living in their own country, especially when missionaries get on the field for their first term. As they go to their country, they're, of course, excited about what God has ahead for them. They're excited about getting their ministry off the ground. But as they get there, all of a sudden they find out that there are some language challenges. Even if they went to language school, they get on the field and they find that the people there don't speak that language the same way that they learned it in language school. You know, when our missionaries who go to Spanish-speaking countries, they go to Cincel in Costa Rica where they teach Castilian Spanish, which is proper Spanish spoken in Spain. But very few of them are going to Spain. They're going to different countries in Central and South America where they have butchered Spanish the way the English or the British claim we have butchered the English language. And they have to learn that new dialect, and that's a challenge. When they get on the field, there are cultural adjustments that have to be made. There are differences in the way the national churches run. Their style of leadership in other countries is very different than how we do things here in the United States. There are relationship stresses in developing relationships with people on the field. And, you know, when missionaries get on the field, sometimes they'll have other missionaries in the area that they may be working with. And you know what? Sometimes missionaries have a hard time working with other missionaries. You'd say, what? But does everybody in the body of Christ always agree? No. Now think about it. When you have a missionary that God has called to a certain country, God has given him certain gifts, certain talents, certain kinds of visions, a priority of what he feels God wants him to do, he gets on the field and they're trying to coordinate working with other missionaries who have different gifts, different talents, different vision, different priorities, and they have to learn to work together. Does that ever happen here? Of course it does. And sometimes when they get on the field, they have a hard time working with their boss. Do you ever have a hard time working with your boss? Even though their boss is a Christian, again, he, you know, different personalities. So sometimes they need some kind of neutral person to come in and help work things through. That's where member care comes in. We're actually allowed to go in and work with a missionary who's having a hard time with someone else on the field without anybody else even knowing. Totally confidential. We don't even tell their area director or their regional directors. We have permission to do that. But, you know, when missionaries, their marriage relationships can be strained more so than even in the United States. We all know that marriage takes a lot of energy. But when you go to a foreign country where their view of women is different and their view of marriage is different, it can put added stresses on a marriage relationship. Children can act out when you get on the field because of the different cultural things that go on. And then there can be things like death. I mean, missionaries die on the field. It isn't always because they've been attacked. You know, they can get cancer, heart attacks, all sorts of things like anywhere else in the world. But also while they're on the field and they have family back in the States, they can have their parents or other loved ones who go through illnesses and sicknesses, and they can't be there for them. They have to trust that God will provide. And there's so many other issues that can arise. Usually when things happen that member care would respond to, we can't talk about them because they're confidential. But there is one story that happened this last February that I can share with you. And the reason I can share it with you is because the couple that it happened to put it on Facebook. No confidentiality there. And so I can tell this story, but we had a couple in Costa Rica. They have been missionaries for well over 20 years. And they were running our language school there, Sincel, and they came home from a time of evening of ministry, pulled up into their driveway, and as they were getting out of the car, four gunmen grabbed them, forced them to open their door into their house, and proceeded to rob them of everything of value. Took all of their jewelries and rings and electronics, computers, their passports, their credit cards. And to keep the wife from screaming, when she started to scream, one of the men took his fist and pushed it down her throat so far it actually damaged her larynx. It also did one other thing. It kept the husband compliant because he didn't want his wife to be harmed. And so the whole thing was an extremely traumatic situation. And so as soon as it was over with, they got on the phone and they called member care. And we have different parts of member care. Our missionary kid program, MK, some of you know Christy Alexander. That's part of the member care too. She's going to be working specifically with our missionary kids. But they contacted us, and we had people there to help them find out how to get temporary passports because we felt the trauma was so severe that they needed to get off the field for at least a little bit of time. We guided them through how to deal with their credit cards and their passports, all those kinds of things. But most importantly, we were there to help them deal with the trauma of what they had experienced. You see, when our missionaries go through trauma, that's where member care comes in. All right? That's where member care comes in. Member care is a part of our missions department that responds to the emergency calls. Member care is quick to respond, to give guidance, and to give counseling to various types of situations that they are going to experience. There's a lot of things that missionaries go through that can only be understood by veteran missionaries, because they are living in a cross-cultural situation. And to have them sit down and talk to somebody who doesn't understand cross-cultural situations is really, we have found it's a waste of time. And so member care is made up of people that, at least the core area that we are going to be working in, there's one other couple, and then my wife and I. And that is the whole team, reaching out to the serious crisis and traumas of missionaries. And by the way, we have 2,700 plus missionaries worldwide. So you can pretty much figure there's crisis going on somewhere all the time. And we respond to their needs. We go where they are. So we literally are world missionaries. We are the pastoral care unit to our missionaries worldwide. We're not assigned to any one country. We're going to countries all the time, wherever our missionaries are. Now, how many of you have ever seen, or at least all the commercials, for some of you younger ones, the TV show MASH? MASH stood for Mobile Army Surgical Hospital. They were on the front lines. What they did, there was a sense of urgency. They were there to save lives. Everything that was happening there was crisis. Well, member care functions in a similar way. We go where the missionaries are when they're going through a time of serious crisis. There's clearly a sense of urgency to what they are experiencing. We're there to do the triage. Okay, we are the spiritual and the psychological triage medics for our missionaries whenever they go through different kinds of situations. And it isn't just kind of crisis situations where it may be a marriage difficulty. Things have, you know, culminated to a point of needing some kind of intervention. It can be things like earthquakes. You know, when earthquakes happen, our missionaries are quick to respond. They're out there to help Convoy of Hope get in there and all those kinds of things that they're ministering and reaching out to the people. But sometimes people forget that those missionaries might have just lost their home too. Maybe one of their loved ones, one of their children or someone was hurt in the earthquake as well. Who's there to help them? That's member care. And so we fly to the country to be that support system as need dictates. Now, obviously, we don't jump for every crisis situation because the area director can help in some of those things. But in the really serious crisis, in the real traumatic situations, for us, it's for at least for me, it's coming full circle. I spent the first 10 years of my adult life as a clinical therapist and social worker before I came into the ministry. So I'm coming in full circle of going back into my what I did in my 20s. But, you know, when you start, when you get into the counseling field, going into the ministry isn't a big change. You know, there's a lot of counseling that is done in the ministry. Let me close by just reading a portion of a letter that we received in member care from one of our missionary couples. She writes, "We were on the field and member care flew in to do some sessions with the different missionaries on the ground. The session my husband and I had," and then let me intercede here, "we oftentimes will go to different areas of the world and do different kinds of sessions like how to live a balanced life as a missionary and just different things to help build our missionary body." And she says, "The session my husband and I had with member care was invaluable. The biggest thing it did was enable us to know where to turn while on the field if a crisis was ever to break out. Well, crisis did come. And we made a desperate cry for help and called member care. They were so caring and helped walk us through a process that saved our future in ministry and brought so much healing. Member care is vital to missionaries abroad because many times the resources we have at home are not available to us on the field." So needless to say, member care is vital to our missionaries. But when you think about it, doesn't every pastor do the same thing for you that member care is doing for our missionaries? Everyone goes through life. At times, in the process of life, you go through crisis. The body of Christ is here for you. Your pastor and your church leadership are here for you. So that when you go through financial struggles, you can sit down and talk with someone in the church who has some understanding of that area. If you go through marriage problems, there's someone in the body of Christ that can help guide you through those areas. Well, it's, you know, the church, that's part of what the church is here for. But don't our missionaries deserve the same thing? When they're on the field, sometimes they're there planting the first church. They don't have some pastor they can go to. They need someone there to coach them and to counsel them. And you know, we do it for a number of reasons. We do it because we care. We do it because Scripture calls us to. And we do it because we want our missionaries to be successful and effective, and we want them to stay on the field as long as God wants them on the field. Through our ministry and through continuing to support us, because of what we are going to be doing, together we are impacting every missionary from every district in every country. Because we are reaching out to all of our missionaries worldwide. I will be tallying up the frequent flyer miles. Because what it has been averaging is we are going somewhere in the world on the average of at least once a month to help our missionaries going through crisis. I want to close just by asking you to stand with me, and I'd just like to close in a word of prayer, because really, even though we are in other countries as missionaries, God has called each of you as missionaries right here in Meriden. We all have a call to minister. We all have been appointed to be a witness. We all can share our faith, what God has done for us. And God equips us all. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, I am so thankful that you have given us the privilege to be a part of building the kingdom of God. Even though all of us are fallen creatures, even though you obviously could do it a whole lot better because you are perfect and we are fallen, you have given us the privilege and the honor to be a part of building your kingdom. That's why you have gifted each of us with different gifts and talents and abilities, that each of us are uniquely different from one another. And all that for the purpose of being able to touch other lives. So, Lord, I pray that you would give us boldness where we need boldness. Compassion where we need compassion. Understanding where we need understanding. And, Lord, sometimes it seems a little frightening to share our faith. So I'm thankful, Lord, that your word tells us that you will give us what we need to say at the point in time that the opportunity arises. That we may not have it in our minds beforehand, but that you give us the words when we need it. I thank you, Lord, that your word tells us and promises us that you give us everything that we need for life and for godliness through the knowledge of your Son. So, Lord, just have your will and your way in each of our lives, that we can fulfill the purpose for which we were created. And I just ask this in Jesus' precious name. And everyone said, Amen.